today's episode, we explore the questions we wish family foundations would ask small nonprofits in their grant applications. As you listen, see how you might build stronger relationships with the family foundations that support your work, how you might write more compelling grant applications, and ultimately, how you might be more successful in your fundraising.
Hello, and welcome to the Nonprofit Radio Show, a podcast with tips and tools for small nonprofits. If you feel in the dark about how to run a nonprofit, sunshine is on its way.
I'm Nancy Bacon, and I'm joined by Sarah Brooks. And it's a beautiful, a little bit wet, but beautiful spring day. The cherry blossoms are out. The daffodils are up. It's absolutely—
All right, stop right there. That's enough. That is not my spring on my side of the mountains. We are watching snow glacially melt and we're waiting for flowers. So let's not get too far into the spring comparisons, Nancy.
Oh my goodness. Well, still we can talk about renewal and growth and all of those wonderful things about being strong.
Sure. That someday might happen in my world too. But I do feel, and maybe this is, I don't know, just emerging from a winter's nap, but I have talked to a lot of nonprofit organizations who are frantically writing grant applications. And what I hear are the equivalent of the kind of college application process. I have character counts and tables to fill out and how do you put your mission into a box online? What I'm hearing more and more is just that this whole grant process doesn't quite get what nonprofits are trying to convey. We're struggling to fit into those boxes. And that can certainly make that power dynamic that we are now talking more and more about in the nonprofit world between foundations with funds and nonprofits asking for them to feel really intimidating.
It's really stressful as nonprofits are so busy, you know, carving out that time to write a grant application and then not having it approved is so frustrating. It does feel so often like we're trying to take this very expansive, round work that we're doing and fit it into a square box, right? And there's just, when you do that, the edges get cut off and you don't quite get the whole thing in there.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been writing grant applications and been around, you know, the foundation nonprofit connection world for a long time now. And I have to say that the more I fill them out, the more I have been keeping this little list in my head of the dream questions that I really wish someday a grant proposal is going to ask me.
And I imagine you have shared a lot of this with the foundations that support you because you work in such close relationship with them. And you know, so many family foundations are doing really important work right now to be so thoughtful about their grant applications. So we really applaud that. We celebrate that. And we just know that we often sit back and think, huh, I wonder if somebody would ask me this. And I wonder if I could answer with that. And so in the spirit of that kind of mood, I love this conversation.
Absolutely. And I also secretly hope that our listeners will type into our webpage and let us know what questions they wish they were being asked, because, you know, the four or five that you and I have come up with are just the tip of the iceberg. So maybe we can become this great clearinghouse for great grant questions.
That's such a great idea. So what's the first question that you wish you were asked?
Well, I get asked a version of this all the time, but what I wish I was specifically asked was, what do we need to know about your mission? And the reason I like that question rather than what is your mission, which is what I think we're all expecting to answer, is I love the open-endedness of the question. And I love that it centers the nonprofit organization as the entity with its own expertise and knowledge to share. And it has the foundation grounded in curiosity.
You know, I love this for several reasons. First of all, some nonprofits put a lot of effort into their mission statement. They're able to hire, you know, fancy communication or PR professionals to wordsmith that thing to death, and it looks fantastic. But I want to make sure that those organizations who don't have that funding, who maybe don't have access to those folks, they still have a fantastic story that stands behind their mission statement. Whatever that story is, whatever that mission statement is, inviting them to tell their why and their story is really what this question is about.
Absolutely. And it's this really ripe opportunity for a nonprofit to place that mission, whether it's beautifully worded or not, into the context of the bigger whole, right? It's this great opportunity to explain what piece of the puzzle how you fit in to the whole network of ecosystem of around your issue, and also to highlight what trends and things you're seeing that maybe the people reading your application aren't aware of. So it's this great opening question that, right, isn't reliant on having magical, one sentence of a mission statement down, but rather let us explain to you what we're seeing. I just think that would be so powerful.
And I imagine one of the hangups is don't get too caught up in the how you do it. So you want to make sure you're staying at a high enough level that you're not getting too deep into the weeds.
The second question I wish I was asked is, what are the biggest barriers for you in meeting your mission? And again, it's nice and open-ended, and it gives me a chance to reflect on both external and internal barriers. So what are the things that are keeping our organization from meeting our, wildest dreams sort of internally? And what about externally? What's happening beyond our walls? What are the bigger societal movements that are creating real barriers to us making progress on our mission? I just love that chance to be internal and external thinking.
And I imagine family foundations are listening for two things, right? I know I would be listening for two things. The first is that the answer isn't necessarily money. So often, what do you need? Money. And money for what? What are you wanting money for? What is the end goal? What is the need that needs to be met? So I think to some degree, we're making sure that, money is not immediately the answer. Or if it is the answer, it's tied to a much larger strategy, right?
Exactly, right? I need money because I need a staff that's trained and that costs money. I need money because we can't pay a wage high enough to bring the care workers in we need. And then give that broader context, tell that bigger story.
Yeah, and I certainly would be listening for some level of pause, because this is not a typical question. So if I got asked this, I'd have to, oh, that's a great question. Let me just think for a second. Obviously, if it were in a grant application, you'd have time to do that thinking. But this is a question that sometimes we need to think about barriers behind barriers, the levels of barriers, so to speak.
Absolutely. But what I also love about the question is it's super straightforward. So I was recently exposed to a grant application, that asked me about our theory of change. And I've heard that in enough conferences to kind of know how to navigate my way through it, but it's confusing to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can just picture many organizations for whom that is a completely new term and for whom that just, let's close the computer and not do that grant right now. Thinking about these questions in ways that are really accessible to anyone. And they're all things we're all thinking about. I mean, every nonprofit staff person or volunteer on a board is thinking about what's keeping us from meeting our mission.
It's so straightforward and just uses normal words too. I mean, we've seen those grant applications that require like a SWOT analysis or a logic model, or you talk about theory of change. This is all in that wonky world of, paperwork. Let's just get to what are the barriers? Let's make it simple.
Yep. All right. So the third question I wish I was asked is the simplest of all, which is, how can we help?
That's a good question.
And again, I love the framing. It's saying, nonprofit, we think you're probably doing great things. How can we help you? And I love the framing. Well, I certainly hope my answer isn't just give us $10,000. It gives me a chance to say, well, you can help. Because you'll give us the $10,000 we need to do the repair on the roof that changes everything for our residents, whatever it is. And you can help because, having you as a partner will help inspire others to want to support our work or on and on and on and on, right?
And this is where so many family foundations are really moving forward in this area, recognizing that they have so much to give. They have time, talent, of course, that treasure that we know about. They have connections. They may have name recognition. They have so much that they can lend that goes outside of money. When I think of family foundations, I think about once I asked a funder to write a letter of reference for a different grant.
Interesting. And,
it was wonderful where he had worked, we had worked together for a long time. He knew me. He knew the project. And so he wrote a letter, a reference letter. I can imagine advocacy. You're always running advocacy campaigns, right? Getting the legislator legislature or, you know, different policy things moving forward, your donors can be partners in that.
Absolutely. And as a nonprofit, think about what that shows about your ability to see the big picture. If you can articulate that, right? If I'm writing to Nancy and I'm not just saying I need the $10,000, you know, but I need it for these things. And in addition, I'd love this or that from you, some other ability, skill, experience you have that could help our mission. It goes back to my big, you know, you're creating a sense of we, not us and them.
And you're seeing them as whole people, right? You're seeing that they are people who have lives outside of writing checks. They have passions, they have connections. And I think that's just so important as like, I think the bottom line, if people are filling out their nonprofit radio show bingo card, you know, this relationship piece is so critical in all of this.
I think the fourth question I wish I was asked, I haven't worded it right, but I'd love to see one that said something like, as a family foundation, we've identified our core values as X, Y, and Z. And share with us how these values show up in your work or mission. So first, I love that it necessitates a conversation and a clarity in the family foundation around what their values are, which often exist on web pages, but it's good to remind us in the grant application. And I also love that it's not requiring us to, sometimes we have to say, well, here's how our program fits into your programs. It's sort of like, let's talk about our values. Like you value, you know, equity, and so does my organization in these ways. And it lets me explain what I think that value means and how it works. And for you then as the decision maker about where your funding is going to go to decide if that is a match or not.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to underscore that it's so important that we don't think it has to be a perfect match.
Exactly.
I mean, we want family foundations to identify their values and we want nonprofits to identify their values. And you don't have to fake it. You don't have to say, oh, we have the exact same three values.
Right.
It does speak to really understanding the family foundation and what they're looking for and telling the story, really telling the story of how those two things. I mean, I think like at an extreme, you might have somebody says my value is efficiency. And I might say, well, my value is integrity. And then, okay, let's think about how can I tell the story between efficiency and integrity and how can I make that connection? Perhaps it isn't a good funding source if the values truly don't align. But I imagine there's a story in between that you could tell.
And again, it's a different way to tell the story than exactly how many people are you serving and, you know, from what area. It's just a richer conversation, I think.
What's our last question?
Last one's a little out there. I mean, I get it. It's out there. But I don't know if you've ever had this experience when you're filling out a grant application, but you're sort of like, I'm doing all of this and I really don't know how they're going to make their decision. Like, I really don't. I'm answering these kind of big, broad questions and I'm filling it in. And it's like, I don't really know at the end of the day what the rubric is on their end to say this is a good match or not. And so I've been fantasizing about what if the foundation could say one of our primary fears or concerns is funding an organization that X, like, doesn't move the needle or won't collaborate or only serves some people or doesn't have a strong financial plan, right? You can picture all those different fears that those having to make decisions about where to have their money go are thinking in the back of their mind. They're trying to you know, make sure they don't make a mistake when they give the money away. And so what if they just said, like, hey, for us, like, the biggest worry would be that you don't have a strong financial plan for what happens after we stop funding you. Share with us how you'll help us avoid that. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to avoid that? I mean, it's a little weird question, I know, but it would mean that the Family Foundation is actually identifying one key factor in how they're making a decision. We're all trying to avoid, quote unquote, making a mistake in our own world. And it gives the nonprofit a chance to say, hey, I hear you. We want to have a financial plan too, and we have one. It also helps a nonprofit that doesn't have a good financial plan maybe realize they're not the right fit, or helps the decision maker realize, well, Sarah's nonprofit doesn't have all those elements that make me nervous. And so I don't. So I don't know. I think it's just would be really fascinating to have them share what their biggest worry is and then let a nonprofit articulate how they can help allay that fear.
I think, of course, of the Brené Brown quote, something around clear is kind.
And
you talk about not always knowing exactly what they're looking for. I've had a different experience where in writing a grant application, I've noticed that they're asking like five different questions related to financials that are all kind of the same question. And I'm like, what are they scared of? Like, why are they asking for far more about financials than is warranted with this grant level or that anybody else asks? Clearly, they've had, you know, they've had some risky grants in the past. But just tell me that.
Clearly, like financial management, maybe that's how they made their wealth. It's their expertise. It's a high value of theirs. And again, you know, back in our earlier question, if they just stated that clearly, then, oh, okay, that's helpful. It'll help save time on everyone's part.
Yeah, I've seen this around risk in particular, where I have seen foundations that have said, you know, we are comfortable with risk. You know, maybe we came out of a risk business model or whatever. I don't know. And they're like, you know, we're comfortable. We assume there's a certain level of risk. I've also seen foundations, and it only comes out through conversation. Like it's never in a grant application, right? You know, we cannot take a risk because of our board of directors or our founder or whatever the story is. We cannot take a risk.
Yeah.
And that's something that just tell me that up front and then we'll figure this out, right?
There's something interesting there in getting both sides to be honest about what they're seeking. That's what we're trying to match up in the process, I think.
Right. So I think I have one more question that I just want to toss into the mix. And that is, tell me about your team.
Oh, excellent.
That I am seeing so often now, executive directors are so excited about their team. They're so excited about their either, you know, their second in command coming up through the pipeline or their on the ground, frontline team doing the outreach. And so we think so often about who is the leader of the organization. And particularly as we're looking at the diversity of our organizations, we look at the diversity of the leader or the demographic of the leader. And yet now, as there's so many shifts, honestly, there's so many white executive directors who are retiring. There's people of color coming up through the ranks who will be executive director in those organizations very soon. I just want to invite us to think about the whole team and inviting that conversation because it's really exciting, isn't it?
Oh, Nancy, that would be like the best. I literally, we just turned in a grant application where I had to upload my resume, but no one else's. Mm-hmm. You know, and it actually is a piece of work that really, you know, most of the folks in my office will be working on, you know, who have great expertise for it. My resume isn't actually the one you want to see for it. So yeah, I would love to answer that question. And you'd have to give me a big character count.
Yeah, exactly. 5,000 letters, words, yes.
Oh, I was just going to say maybe exclamation points don't count as a character. That would be good.
That's a good rule. We'll go with that rule. So say I'm a family foundation and I say, you know, these are great questions. What should I be listening for as I'm like reading these applications and hopefully also then having conversations later?
I come up with three things. I'm sure you'll have others, Nancy, but I hope you're listening for curiosity. You know, the sense that this is a learning organization, that this is a nonprofit who recognizes that we work in a really complicated space. Remember, nonprofits we're trying to solve the hardest problems. If the market could solve them or government could solve them, they'd do it. So here we are solving really hard, complex problems, or trying to move the needle on hard, complex problems. And so, you know, hopefully what you're hearing is this is an organization who doesn't claim to know exactly what to do, but who has a pretty good curiosity about them and a mechanism for learning, a feedback loop, so they can keep getting better.
Yeah, I would add to that a sense of grounded passion.
Excellent.
You know, we have a lot of passion in the nonprofit sector. We love what we do. If you get me talking about certain things, you know, watch out, carve out the hour. But that passion needs to be grounded, right? It needs to be grounded in reality. So when I'm listening to a nonprofit person talk about their work or read about it in a grant application, I'm really looking for that grounded passion.
And I would also be looking for strategy. Does it sound like they have a clear sense of what actions they're taking will lead to what what kind of outcomes they're hoping for. And are those inspiring to me?
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about values. They came up in a question that we posed, but I really do think having that clear sense of values, that you know who you are, you have that North Star in place so that you know how you're going to move forward and you're comfortable with that.
All right. I want to end this session with a bit of a radical thought. Mm-hmm. So here's my radical thought. What if all the pages of online text boxes with character counts were replaced with conversations? So imagine a world where there was a simple online application process that helped a family foundation, identify those organizations that just definitely aren't a good fit. They just definitely don't fit. And then the whole rest of the process is an actual conversation, either in person on the nonprofit site, if that's important to understand what they do or see what they do, or on Zoom, of course, nowadays. We can do this. We don't have to not see each other and tell and share story. And I think it would just open up an opportunity for so many organizations to really shine, especially those organizations who may not have a grant writer on staff or have the funds to hire a grant writer. I mean, words, right? They're so formal. They can be intimidating. They're supposed to be this way they flow together. There's a reason you and I don't write a book a week. We get on a podcast and we talk because it's less intimidating. I think that could just be super fascinating.
And written word only shows one kind of knowledge. There's so many other kinds of knowledge that we want to tap into. Well, I love conversation and I love relationships, so I'm all in. I have my own radical thought.
Ooh, let's hear it.
And let's lean into the word radical. I wonder about family foundations investing in radical collaboration. Mm. And this is what I mean by, so I think about this from a supply and demand point of view, right? We have so much money in family foundations. We have new nonprofits being founded every day. And so I imagine to some degree, the process for family foundations, the hurdles that nonprofits need to jump through, part of it is a supply and demand problem, right? There's so many nonprofits who need the money. So what if we, and this would, magic wand time, what if we really invested in radical collaboration so that there were fewer grant applications altogether, but there were people working together. So people didn't have to create new nonprofits to get the work done, or two or three nonprofits were radically inspired to work together and create one application. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes. And even more amazing, if you take both of our radical thoughts and put them together, the super cool thing would be if a family foundation was working in a particular geography, say, or in a particular sector of the nonprofit world, if they just hosted a meeting and said, what's the best way for us to help you? What's the best way for you to tell your story? What's the best way for us to move the needle? And that the process kind of came about from a collaboration of the funders and those being funded. It would be amazing.
That would be magical. So what's our word of the week?
Well, I think it's proposal, which is kind of interesting, as in like grant proposal.
As in like we're moving into June and it's wedding season? Or what's
yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of interesting, right? So the word proposal, I think of someone asking someone else to consider something. And in particular, of course, we go to wedding proposals. That's often where it starts. And in a wedding proposal, the person doing the proposing, at least as far as I have experienced, get to make their best case in the best way that works for them. The person being asked doesn't usually create some form and tell them here would be the best way to ask me, or this is the information I would want for you in order to consider your proposal. At least within our American culture, it tends to be the asker getting to decide. This is how I will put forth the best case for this consideration. In the nonprofit world with foundations, it's sort of the opposite, right? Like those of us who are hoping you'll consider something from us are basically following your lead on what you want to see, which I think means we don't often get to put our best foot forward.
The word proposal in my mind, really, again, I also go to the wedding metaphor there, and that we're in this together for better or worse.
Excellent.
And that notion that, if you accept a marriage proposal, the general notion there is we're coming together to move forward on a journey together, for better or worse. And yeah. I think that's where all of this conversation about honesty around risk or finance or whatever it is, this notion that we're in it together. So, you know, and this conversation is in the spirit of that too, that nonprofits and family foundations absolutely need to work together. For better or worse, we're here to make the world a better place.
Well, that's a great sentiment. Well, we really hope our listeners out there will take a few minutes to think about what grant proposal questions you wish you were asked so that you could help family foundations understand your mission and your impact. And if you are a family foundation listener, we hope you'll share the questions that you've asked that you think really work as well. We'll never make the process better if we don't have constructive and honest conversations. Figuring out how to make the grant proposal process more insightful and meaningful is better for nonprofits and their important missions, and it'll be better for family foundations who really want to make change. Remember, we really are in this together. You've got this.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Radio Show today. Tell your friends about the Nonprofit Radio Show and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Visit nonprofitradioshow.com for tips, tools, and free resources for nonprofits. The show is produced by Nancy Bacon and Sarah Brooks in partnership with the Nonprofit Learning Center, delivering learning and innovation to help nonprofits thrive. Our production team is Steve Fonslet and Mep Schulte of Three Choices Creative Communications. We always love to hear from our listeners. We're inspired by you and other nonprofit leaders doing important work in our communities.